You're training and putting in real work, your body needs real recovery. Unlike most recovery drinks, low-fat chocolate milk has naturally occurring protein, plus fluids and electrolytes to replenish and rehydrate better than water. So next time you need to bounce back, reach for real recovery. Backed by real science, reach for chocolate milk.
Listening to Michael Angley, and it was very interesting show there. Ran over a little into the time slot. Yes, we are still live here on Tuesday evening. You're listening live to UFO Paranormal Radio Network, as we were telling Michael's guest there during the break, but we're now known as the United Public Radio Network. Why would we even, bring that up, you say? Because we maybe is sort of seeing a renaissance of sorts of some of the programming that you longtime listeners have come to know and love, especially in some of the archives with the UFO and paranormal and the esoteric material is supposed to be making a comeback. So if you have a request for your favorite program, you want to see something go into the lineup, be sure to go to United Public Radio Network on the Facebook and put in your request for material. It could be a show that you heard from Voice of the People 10 years ago. There are archives. That's why we are up there. Also, the live shows. If you missed Michael's show, you can, of course, go pick that up on SoundCloud.com and just search for SoundCloud.com/UPRN or United Public Radio Network. Available there. We are available on a lot of different streaming services, your iTunes service. We are on iHeartRadio. Speaking of that, other things, YouTube. Go to the YouTube link at UPRNTalkRadio.com. United Public Radio Network really can use your support by simply subscribing there at the YouTube channel for UPRN. That's at the UPRNTalkRadio.com website. You'll see a link for the YouTube channel, and there are some exciting developments that are coming your way. We just want to keep our subscriber numbers up at the YouTube channel so that there are no hiccups and earthquakes to overcome when it comes to YouTube and their processes. Of course, it takes a while to get all of this stuff going. It's been an ongoing process, developing and getting everything kicked off with YouTube there for the past year. But you want to go to the YouTube channel by going to UPRNTalkRadio.com. Go to the YouTube link and click subscribe, 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 because it helps out all of us hosts on the network, whether it's a show that you've never heard of, which could be on, or it's this show, Voice of the People Radio. We do a lot of politics on Tuesday night, folks. It's kind of the thing. And we have not had the chance to be around with some of the ongoing developments with the Robert Mueller versus Donald Trump debacle that has become the 9 yards in a cloud of dust in Washington, D.C. Long story short, what you end up with is the media is playing a part in all this. The mainstream media playing their part in all of this. And occasionally, they also have their opinion. Now, this comes directly from the New York Times. And when people ask me for personal advice about what would you say on Facebook if you were writing someone back on the United Public Radio Network page on Facebook and someone had made a comment, and I would just say I will never make a comment on a forum like that I wouldn't want printed on the front page of the New York Times. So this has been an ongoing thing for at least the last 20 years, things that you don't want to have discussed in public or not your laundry that you want hanging out there by the clothespins drifting in the wind. If you're not willing to stand by it and have it printed on the front page of the New York Times, then you shouldn't say it to somebody, be it on Facebook or on MySpace before that, or on a chat room on Pal Talk, where we are still broadcasting, by the way, or on a forum going all the way back to Yahoo, where the UFO Paranormal Radio Network started about 20 years or so ago. So the New York Times has their opinion, and of course, being the New York Times, they're going to print their opinion, and it's either going to be on the front page, or nowadays, it's going to be on the front page of their website. So this is the opinion of the New York Times by the editorial board of the New York Times. And of course, it comes with their own standard disclaimer, which is the editorial board represents the opinions of the board, its editor, and the publisher. It is separate from the newsroom and the op-ed section of the New York Times. And this piece from today is Trump versus the Department of Justice. Yes. As the old saying goes, if the facts are against you, argue the law. If the law is against you, argue the facts. If both the facts and the law are against you, pound the table and yell. Welcome to the central organizing principle of the Trump White House. As the Russia investigation burrows closer to the Oval Office, the president, his staff, his collaborators in Congress, and his defenders in the right-wing media are sparing no institution in their quest to undermine it. Look, a mole. President Trump sank to a new low on Sunday, tweeting, "I hereby demand and will do so officially tomorrow that the Department of Justice look into whether or not the FBI or Department of Justice infiltrated or surveyed the Trump campaign for political purposes. And if any such demands or requests were made by people within the Obama administration," exclamation point. Putting aside the cartoonish language, "I hereby demand," really? Consider the seriousness of the threat posed by a president ordering federal law enforcement officials to investigate the people who are investigating him. On Monday, President Trump persuaded the Justice Department to ask its Inspector General to look into his accusations, hoping that these countercharges make the public forget the broader context of the Russia investigation. So let's look at what we already know. First, the facts. There was a sophisticated multi-year conspiracy by Russian government officials and agents working under direct orders from President Vladimir Putin to interfere in the 2016 U.S. presidential election in support of Donald Trump. The American law enforcement and intelligence communities warned the Trump campaign and asked it to report anything suspicious. The campaign didn't do this. To the contrary, at least seven Trump campaign officials met with Russians or people linked to Russia, and several seemed eager to accept their help. As the FBI became aware of these contacts, it began to investigate. And yet the Bureau went to great lengths to shield this investigation from becoming public before the election, even as James Comey, then the FBI director, spoke openly about the investigation into Hillary Clinton's private email server. These facts aren't disputed. The intelligence community confirmed Russia's efforts on President Trump's behalf in January of 2017. And last week, Richard Burr, the Republican chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, said he saw no reason to dispute those findings. Now, do these sound like the actions of government officials intent on bringing down a presidential candidate? What about the law? It is a federal crime to lie to federal authorities, obstruct justice, launder money, fail to register as a foreign agent, and conspire with a foreign power to influence the outcome of an election. Top officials in President Trump's campaign and administration have already been indicted on or pled guilty to some of these charges. This is just the start. The special counsel, Robert Mueller, appears to have gathered a great deal more evidence with the help of corroborating witnesses. And we haven't even talked about Michael Cohen yet. Meanwhile, Republicans in Congress compound their shame daily, either by standing by in silence or by working actively with the White House and conservative media to help expose the identity of an FBI informant. Was it just a year ago that these same people professed outrage at the supposed unmasking of American citizens caught up in duly authorized surveillance? This self-interested assault is doing incalculable damage to the integrity of American law enforcement. It's up to those people who have devoted their lives to the nation and to the rule of law, like Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and the FBI Director Christopher Wray, both Republicans and Trump appointees, don't forget, to stand up to the president and defend these institutions. One doesn't have to agree with the particulars of every investigation to see the fundamental difference here. The members of our law enforcement and intelligence communities are trying to protect the country. Donald Trump and his supporters are simply trying to protect Donald Trump. Now, you can follow the New York Times opinion section on Facebook and Twitter. Their handle on Twitter is at NYTOpinion, P-I-N-I-O-N. And you can also check out the Opinion Today newsletter that they have at thenewyorktimes.com. Now, what I found personally interesting about this particular piece from the editorial board of the New York Times is the fact that it is quite divisive. It puts the editorial board on the side of liberal media by standing staunchly against and being accusatory towards other media and calling them out as conservative media. They're basically painting themselves into a corner and labeling themselves. Now, we have talked several times on Voice of the People Radio here on United Public Radio Network about the ludicrousness of what's been going on with this Russia investigation. We have kind of poked fun at times. You have heard me say eventually what we will have is investigators investigating the investigators of the investigation. Well, President Trump, quite literally over the weekend, has made this a reality. He now wants the Department of Justice to investigate the investigators from the FBI who are investigating the Trump campaign and the possibility of collusion with the Russian government and intelligence services, who spent hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, attempting to influence American politics by, of all things, buying advertising space on websites and social media like Facebook and Twitter. The Russian operatives obviously did not find it very effective to be taking out a front page or, you know, a pull-out full-page ad in the New York Times. If this was 1983, you would see a company, which was an umbrella, buying the advertising space through an advertising agency, running a full-page New York Times rebuttal of something. If they didn't like what was going on, let's say, with President Reagan, and they wanted to start undermining President Reagan's re-election campaign for 1984, the Russians would have started out there. You know, fast forward 30 years, and what you have is the Russian intelligence agency and their operatives buying advertising space on an internet service, which, according to its own byline, Facebook is free and always will be, waiting for the other shoe to drop there and waiting for Facebook to start charging for premium level services where people can subscribe and have less obsequious advertisement shoved in their face every 5 seconds when they want to look at pictures of what their cousin's children are doing. However, back to my point, the Russian intelligence community would be buying, which they did, advertising time, exposures, views, as they are known in the industry, on the profiles of very particular individuals. And what this all came down to, they had the Senate hearings in the last couple of months with Mark Zuckerberg, and it was all supposedly, you know, super fantastic and overblown. And now the only thing that's bigger than what's been happening with Zuckerberg and his private property on the islands out there in Hawaii has been this volcanic eruption in the last week. But before then, he was, you know, he was the biggest thing. And Zuckerberg going into Washington basically really didn't tell a lot of people unless the senators were absolutely that ignorant of the questions which they were asking for answers to questions which they already supposedly knew the answers. A lot of rhetorical verbal ping pong there when it comes to buying advertising space on Facebook. What you do is you target your market. So you said that the average age of a listener of Voice of the People Radio was between the ages of 38 and 65 years of age and happened to be a white female, you could segment your advertising. You can actually go buy advertising space on Facebook and a lot of other social media sites, and they will show your advertisement to white females between the ages of 38 and 65 who happen to have an interest in radio programs, you know, and there you go. That's exactly how that works. So what the Russian intelligence agents were doing, for better or for worse, was buying surreptitious advertising space, coming up with fake news, fake polls, fake causes, you know, including fake Black Lives Matter political activism run by Russian intelligence operatives on Facebook. It's an opportunistic game here with this. And, you know, don't forget Vladimir Putin was a KGB operative, rose through the ranks of the former Politburo of the Soviet Union, became one of the big guys, you know, up there, and for better or for worse, came into power, not necessarily into a vacuum of power, but into a situation which was prime for somebody of his talents. And upon assuming that role, the president of the Russian Federation, Vladimir Putin, has successfully maintained a grip on control at the top levels of the Russian government, if not directly from being president of the Russian Federation, by being its acting prime minister under others, which has happened, and then going back, because in the new post-Soviet era Russia, you were allowed to run for president again. So I don't know, you know, when they cover him in the media, they act like Vladimir Putin has, you know, totally 100% been blessed with all of the abilities of the Russian presidency the entire time that he has been a political officer. And he has not been president in successive terms the entire time. He has gone to a position which we might call in the United States the vice presidency, and he sat there. A lot of people would say that politically he was pulling the strings, and then he was able to run again. You know, so imagine, if you will, if the Constitution of the United States were a little different, Barack Obama being able to run for president again in 2020 because there had been a full term, a four-year term, served out by someone other than him. If this was Russia, Barack Obama would be able to run for president in 2020 again, even though he served two consecutive terms. And one of the reasons the United States, we put term limits in place, was to prevent the consolidation of power at the top in the presidential executive branch, or what you might term oligarchy. Fancy 50-cent word there, because of worries within the government itself and in some corners of the American populace, because the fact that President Franklin Delano Roosevelt had been elected to four consecutive four-year terms as President of the United States. He passed away in office at the end of World War II. His vice president, Harry S. Truman, assumed the office of president and then was elected in his own right after the end of World War II and a couple of years leading into the Reconstruction in 1948, Harry Truman famously holding up a post-election newspaper the night of the election 1948, saying, "Dewey defeats Truman," and Truman, of course, holding the newspaper victoriously over his head. You can Wikipedia that if you'd like. The American public and the politicians were kind of afraid that we would end up with another situation where we could have an American dictatorship, an American form of nothing fresh at the top. You know, as close to a dictatorship as the United States has probably ever came, due to the effects that the social and political reforms that went into place in the Roosevelt administration beginning in 1932 and heading on through 1944 when he was last elected to obsequiously turn out at the end of World War II in 1948. America probably would have been electing another president if President Roosevelt had not succumbed to his illness and had a massive stroke and died toward the end of the war. So the difference is Putin can maintain his presidency in Russia, which he successfully has. He was recently reelected as the president there in Russia. So he will be in office. He will be able to direct people to cooperate if asked to by the American government for further information. So any cooperation between the intelligence services. And don't fool yourself about it, folks. It's not like one of these 1970s Cold War movies. There is so much communication going on behind closed doors between members of the American and Russian intelligence communities. That is why there is an investigation going on by former FBI Director Robert Mueller into Russian activities related to the 2016 American presidential campaign. Who better to have an investigation of whether or not there are foreign intelligence operatives than the former top guy of the American intelligence system? It makes sense. It has been twisted around and made to seem like, for better or for worse, in some people's eyes, that the Bob Mueller investigation is out to take President Trump and string him up like this is a public lynching. And that is, you know, being, of course, played off politically by the president. And, you know, he's well within his rights to try to make it look like he is, you know, he is being victimized here. I don't know that he completely understands the historical connotations of what he's doing and the effects that it is going to have on future office holders for the presidency of the United States. But it becomes very interesting when you have an editorial panel like that of the New York Times coming out on one side of the issue. It's very strange. It used to be that the American media was more objective. And this, you know, before Woodward and Bernstein and Watergate, you always go to who, what, where, when, why, how. And you need to answer those questions. That's journalism. Journalism is supposed to be objective. Today's media, today's journalism, somebody is going in, they've got a chip on their shoulder, they've got an axe to grind. They're already on one side of a fence. They're either coming in and they're, you know, they are, you know, upholding values for one party, you know, or the other. And that is part of our problem in the United States right now. Our Congress, our politicians, our representative government has lost the ability to objectively compromise and work on issues that are actively affecting the American people in the here and now, not just losing sight of the big picture in the long term, but they're also looking around and nobody can find the exit to the room that they're all sitting in. The Georgia primary election results with Governor Nathan Deal, a Republican, unable to run because of term limits. Good thing. See, term limits, Franklin Roosevelt, four times president. Term limits were put into the Constitution to stop people from holding office forever. With Governor Nathan Deal, a Republican, unable to run in Georgia because of term limits, a large field of candidates is running to replace him. Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle will advance with Georgia's Secretary of State Brian Kemp to a July 24th Republican primary runoff. So there you go. Governor for the Georgia governorship, the Democratic Party, the candidate coming out on top there, Stacey Abrams, with 296,000 votes, 75.6% of Democrats going. Another Stacey, both of them actually, Stacey with an EY. Stacey Evans coming in about 2-1 margin, 95,000 votes. So gay democracy. I mean, that's really, you know, really where it's going. The Republican primary, a little more split there. Casey Cagle, 195,608 votes. Brian Kemp was 132,143 votes, otherwise known as Casey Cagle, and 38.6%. His opponent in the election, also Republican, Brian Kemp, 132,143, or 26% of that vote. So not as one-sided as the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party nominee for governor pretty much probably has that sewn up, with 79% of the precincts in Georgia reporting there will be a runoff between the Republicans. So good luck, gentlemen, there. And that is just, you know, the complete and total insanity of it all. U.S. House District 1 in Georgia, Lisa Ring coming ahead, 19,000 votes, 67%, pretty much locked up there for Earl Buddy Carter on the Republican candidate side. He is the incumbent and is not being contested. The incumbent for District 2 in Georgia, not being contested, Republican. Democratic Party, Stanford Bishop Jr., uncontested. Chuck Enderlin for District 3, Democratic Party, 12,389 votes, 60% of that primary turnout. Drew Ferguson is the Republican incumbent, was opposed with 26.2% of the vote, going to the opponent, Philip Singleton, with 94% of precincts reporting there. Good to see some opposition. Very good to see some opposition. Running unopposed is just, it's not good for the country. It's not good for having ideas and thoughts and opinions shown out on both sides. You know, and as we go along, we could go through many, many, many districts there in the state of Georgia. It is just bizarre. What we can do is, you know, we can sum it up without trying to take sides here. And we could basically say a vast majority of the candidates in the case of the state of Georgia are Republican incumbents, and there is not very much opposition in the party. Now, just to do a little compare and contrast thing of what we were talking about with the situation and whether or not the Russians would have bought a full page ad in the New York Times to contest some of the policy of President Reagan. And you think back, you know, in those days too, the Republican Party was not a stronghold party in Georgia and other states in the South. That's a big difference that has happened in the last 30 or 40 years in the United States too, is where the parties have become entrenched and why. Now, you know, of course, you know, famously, Ronald Reagan beat governor of Georgia, Jimmy Carter, who's a Democrat, who won the presidency in 1976. And basically, it's kind of, you know, if you wanted to sum up what Jimmy Carter was trying to say about his presidential campaign in 1976, it's kind of a very familiar theme: change. And when things didn't improve, they didn't get all that much better, all that faster. Ronald Reagan asked at the end of the 1980 presidential campaign, when he was a candidate and Jimmy Carter was the incumbent president, he asked the American people, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And I think that's one of the key moments where somebody basically sewed up their ability to win over the thought process behind why they should be elected president. And I'm not saying it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's just when you compare that to what happened in 2016, instead of the candidate Ronald Reagan asking the American people how they felt about things, what you had was the infiltration of social media in the United States, a la Facebook, Twitter, and other social media and websites, by foreign operatives and intelligence directives, mainly possibly from Russia, who was our staunch opponent, our adversary, our main competition during the Cold War. And they were able to apparently, you know, if not outright manipulate the system, They were apparently able to involve themselves in the process unbeknownst to the people participating. People were answering advertising. They were joining groups on Facebook. They were joining groups, for political movements that were being made up by people in foreign countries that had nothing to do with people in the United States. Getting even as ludicrous as pro-Beyonce events in towns and anti-Beyonce demonstrations. And I'm not kidding. You can actually look that up on your favorite search engine, if you have one on the internet, and type in Russia pro-Beyonce demonstration. And you will see some proof that's been laid out where the Russians were buying advertising space on things like Facebook and promoting a group that was pro-Beyonce to have other people who were anti-Beyonce show up. And the thing about this is nobody asked Beyonce. And that's, that's pretty much goes to show how our own invention, our own internet, our own social media that we become so self-absorbed in can be used by people from outside of our little goldfish ball that we create. And the only thing you could see on the outside, it's like having a goldfish bowl, but the inside of the goldfish bowl is a mirror. And the only thing the goldfish can see is himself. And the thing is, you really don't want to be that goldfish. Yeah. I mean, that's all I'm trying to say with that, folks. And when it comes to all of the action that's going on in the primaries, check out what's going on. If you have registered to vote and your state has already had your primaries, good for you. If you still have time, go register to vote in your primary elections. If you don't vote in your primary elections, then shame on you. You don't really have a right to complain during the general elections in the fall. If you are registered to vote, get out there and vote. If you miss the primary elections, get out there and vote during the general elections. This is a pivotal midterm election in the United States, and we've already seen a pitiful turnout with 16% of registered voters in cities like Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, showing up at the polls to vote. I mean, that's really all I could say about it. Hopefully, you had some food for thought. I don't want to leave everybody hanging here at the end, but it is the top of the hour, and I would like to thank you all for listening to an annotated short abridged version of Voice of the People Radio, where we brought you, courtesy of the New York Times itself, their own opinion piece, because their opinion piece is hardly ever do they actually come out and do this, but you go look at this one, folks, and it shows you right there. The New York Times picked themselves up there, and they said the other media is the conservative media, meaning that they were calling everyone else out, and they were standing up and saying the New York Times is in the corner for liberal news media in the United States. So keep that in mind when you're trying to figure out who's being objective and who's not, who's bringing you who, what, where, when, why, and how, and trying to put it in a context where it relates to you. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me here at the show at voiceofthepeopleradio@gmail.com or voiceofthepeopleradio@hotmail.com. You can follow Voice of the People Radio on Twitter. It's VOTPR, Voice of the People Radio on Twitter. And don't forget to go to UPRNTalkRadio.com. Click on the YouTube banner there on the top of the front page at UPRNTalkRadio.com. Go over to the YouTube channel for UPRN Radio and subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We need all the listener support we could get there, and it keeps us from coming to you with public support and benefit begging, where we then offer you a United Public Radio Network coffee mug, but you have to make a $500 donation. And it's just probably not going to happen. And by going and supporting the YouTube channel, just by simply subscribing, you are keeping us from offering you kitsch and very bad things that you really don't want. I don't know. I might actually want a T-shirt, of Joe Montaldo and Linda with the alien from the the newspaper in New Orleans, Louisiana, there to wear around. But it just it takes a lot of effort. It takes very little effort for you to go to uprandtalkradio.com, go to the YouTube link there at the top of the page, click, go over to the YouTube channel and subscribe. We will be back with you probably sometime later on this week, possibly on one of the shows at night. And we will be here Saturday, Voice of the People Radio, from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, as we are every week, followed by Michael Angley. So without you, the listening audience, there is no Voice of the People Radio. I want to say thank you to everyone who is picking us up on Podbean, Podgo, iTunes, iHeartRadio. And as Joe says to you in the listening audience all the time, if you haven't found United Public Radio Network out there on a podcast somewhere on the internet, then you're just not looking for us. Have a great night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
I'm having trouble connecting. I'll keep trying.